Thank you, Rob and Becky. David Wieda is up next. David Wieda is an innkeeper, a musician, an activist, and an advocate for social justice, equality, and love. And this heart sign that you see down there, that well-worn heart, has been carried all over the place with him. A documentary film is currently in production that will chronicle his work for LGBT rights for 25 years in Kansas City. And he also, if you haven't had one, hopefully there are some left, bakes these amazing shortbread cookies with love right here in Bucksport. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Amy, for bringing us all together. Thank you, WERU Community Radio and Bucksport's Wednesday on Main, for asking Amy to bring us all together. And thanks to this wonderful Alamo Theater for offering up this space to become a literary love shack for the night. I am so pleased to have been asked to tell a love story, and I am honored to be sharing the stage with the other storytellers who are here. To celebrate love is to celebrate the greatest joy of our shared humanity, and to celebrate communally through storytelling is to acknowledge our commitment to sharing stories of our greatest joys, our deepest passions, our primal desires, and our human need to love, to touch each other, to survive together in shared empathy for our love stories, which take us through the short days of our short lives, which would be brutally long were it not for our love stories. So, in support of passionate kissing as an act of civil disobedience in a culture of denial. Wow. Reading that aloud sounds like the title of some lengthy, dry academic treatise. And that was my exact intention. Trigger warning. This story contains flirtation, desire, lust, passion, kissing, and implied carnal knowledge between two men. It also contains honesty, love, and joy. Please stop listening now if any of that will scare, offend, or anger you, especially that honesty part. I don't want anybody to be offended by hearing too much honesty. In November of 1991, almost 27 years ago, I was 32 years old and immersed in a life of social and political activism. I was working 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, as director of Kansas City's Human Rights Project. We were orchestrating the process of attaining municipal legislation which would protect people from discrimination based on their sexual orientation or HIV status. It was Kansas City's gay rights moment, and I was thrilled to be a paid activist at the center of this perfect storm, which ultimately ended with a rainbow of equality, justice, and social progress arching over our city. But let's get back to the Valentine-y stuff. It's Veterans Day holiday weekend, and I am in Washington, D.C. for the 2.5-day Creating Change Conference put on by the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, about 1,500 of us coming together to share our stories, knowledge, ideas, and hopes for the global LGBTQ movement. Then go home with new knowledge, skills, energy, and passion for this work, which is all about making the world safer, healthier, and better for everyone. So, I was a 32-year-old, single, passionate gay rights activist at a 2.5-day conference in Washington, D.C. with 15 other gay rights activists. Since Thursday afternoon, I had been attending workshops, presentations, and lectures, learning how to go home and be a better gay rights activist. By late Saturday afternoon, I was both exhausted and excited when I walked into the final breakout session on my Creating Change conference agenda, a workshop entitled Gay Male Spirituality and Sexuality. I walked into the empty room and took a seat in one of the 20 folding chairs arranged in a circle. Now, granted, I arrived early because I'd already been turned away from several workshops earlier in the conference that were filling up fast. I took off my shoes and settled into my chair and comfortably stretched out my legs, crossing my ankles, publicly displaying my very purple socks. Within a few moments, other men began arriving and taking seats. Suddenly, this guy walks into the room, this guy I had noticed a half dozen times earlier over the past 2 days, this really handsome, sexy young man who had a beautiful smile and was dressed really cool, able to pull off that bandana wrapped on his head look with both whimsy and confidence. He was totally my type. But I had never realized that it was my type until I saw him. He glanced around the room, assessing which open chair should be his, and we made eye contact. Yep, we caught each other's brief glance at the 1991 National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Creating Change Conference Gay Male Spirituality and Sexuality Workshop late on a Saturday afternoon in a hotel meeting room in Washington, D.C., and damn, he was my type. He walked into the circle and selected a chair directly opposite mine. He sat down and took off his shoes and stretched out his beautiful legs and crossed his ankles and looked across the circle and smiled at me. The workshop began. I remember that Mr. Sexy Beautiful offered a comment that I found incredibly thoughtful and profound at the time, and I think I made a comment that I hoped anyone might find incredibly thoughtful and profound at the time. But I most remember thinking that I wanted the 90-minute workshop to zoom by and come to an end. My heart was racing as I sat there imagining that I was actually going to meet Mr. Sexy Beautiful when this thing was over. And sure enough, it ended, and we each put our shoes back on and filed out of the room. Out in the hall, there he was. We immediately shook hands and we introduced ourselves. He was Russell Booker, a college student from Gainesville, Florida, and he was suddenly in a hurry to catch up with his group to go somewhere together. We glanced briefly at each other again, smiled, and said goodbye. He sure was sexy and beautiful and appeared incredibly thoughtful and profound, and he had comfortably removed his shoes and looked at me and smiled, and I knew his name, and he sure was sexy and beautiful and profound and thoughtful and my type. The next morning, Sunday, I was excited about attending one final event. A group called Queer Nation had invited all of us who would still be around on Sunday morning to join them in a rally to protest the military ban on gay and lesbian soldiers. I knew I had to participate in that rally, which was taking place on the lawn of the Pentagon. And now, I'm going to let Russell Booker tell the next part. Here's the conclusion of his rendition of this love story, which he wrote in November of 2014. And here's Russell Booker. He said, "That morning, hundreds of us from Queer Nation stormed the steps of the Pentagon and protested. Ironically, the Pentagon responded by placing 10 soldiers as guards at the top of the steps, and we chanted, 'One in 10, one in 10, which one is it? Come out, come out.'" And he didn't know it at the time, but I thought of that chant and I'm the one that started it. The rally included chanting, and this is still Russell's, these are still Russell's words. "The rally included chanting and thoughtful, passionate speeches delivered through a bullhorn, which brought loud cheers and thunderous applause from our large crowd of activists. Things began to wind down, and a leader of Queer Nation announced through the bullhorn, 'Okay, everybody, now we're going to show these military guys exactly what it is that they are so afraid of. Kiss in.' As people raced up the steps and paired off, I had yet to find the handsome, smiling man I'd met and wistfully accepted that it had only been a chance meeting. And then I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around, and there he was. 'Kiss me,' he said, and we locked lips. I didn't even remember his name. We parted for a breath, and I think I said, 'Now that I know how you kiss, what's your name?' And we laughed. He said, 'David.' The protest was breaking up, and my group was heading towards the van that would take us back on the long return journey to Florida. David gave me his information, and we said we'd call each other and write as soon as we each got home. That was the beginning of a long and beautiful and ever-transforming relationship with my mentor, lover, friend, brother, soulmate, David, who I will forever hold in my heart. And now back to my voice, to take you on the next steps down this 27-year-long path of learning and loving. 1 week from today, I am flying to Ecuador to spend 10 days with Russell, who is now in his 7th month as a Peace Corps volunteer. I imagine he will meet me at the airport in Guayaquil. We will look at each other and smile and embrace quickly, but we will not fall into a passionate queer nation steps of the Pentagon style kiss. Two men kissing publicly in Ecuador could get in some trouble. But after we've quickly embraced, I intend to look him in the eye and bend over and very seductively pull up one of my pant legs to reveal a purple sock. And we will gather up my backpack and the case holding my bagpipes and walk very quickly to our hotel. Thank you for listening, and thank you for our shared humanity. Happy Valentine's Day. I love you.